sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins.
Hey, good morning, Mark. It's a really pretty day today.
It's gorgeous.
For some reason, I'm just in a wonderful mood today. So I'm not going to get cranky today.
Oh, it's too early to call that, Becky.
Yeah, that's probably true. We are here with a couple of folks from our title company that is our favorite, which is Chicago Title Oklahoma. And we're going to talk about a lot of things that can go wrong during a closing or things that can be wrong getting ready for a closing.
Boy, this is one of those things that it's when something goes sideways, if the title company has not done the work,
right?
Boy, you could be at the closing table, and that is just a headache and a half.
I have to kind of brag on Siobhan for a minute. Siobhan Honey is here, and Siobhan closes most of our transactions.
Correct. And we like it that way.
Yeah. And so, Siobhan, your title is escrow closing agent?
Yes, I'm an escrow closer. I'm also the manager of our Crossrock office,
which is the busiest of all offices, probably.
Yes.
But I called Siobhan on, I think, Tuesday. It said, not this week, but about a month or two ago. And I said, Siobhan, I've got a deal that needs to close Friday. And it was a commercial transaction.
Ooh.
And I said, there's no loan on the building, no mortgage to be paid off. And the purchaser is using cash. So the only thing we're really waiting on, you have to get the survey or a title inspection report or, you know, mortgage inspection report. And the title to be brought to date, which doesn't usually happen overnight. Well, she called me the next day and said, title's clear, we're ready. I was going, what?
Yes, that was a very quick one.
Yeah, and then the buyer, who happened to be a realtor, goes, never mind, I've got to go to China for a month. And, her dad was sick.
Oh, okay.
And so she had already had a planned trip, but she didn't know when she'd be back. So that's on hold. I understand she's back. We might be able to close that.
I still have it sitting on my desk.
There you go. So anyway, talk about going above and beyond. And I'll tell you, we don't often ask for a big favor.
Right. And when you ask, we like to be able to do that.
We need it. You can't cry wolf all the time and expect someone to jump and help you, you know.
Right, exactly. So. And that's why it does make a difference where you close.
That's how we build this program last week. Does it really make a difference where you close?
Yes.
You can, as a real estate professional, a licensee, you write your offer's accepted, you do everything getting ready and go to closing. And if that title company is not ready, you don't get paid to start with. Your clients don't get done. You have everybody loaded up in trucks, ready to move, and it's Friday afternoon.
Correct. Yes.
And of course, every time that happens, Monday's a holiday.
Right.
So you're in limbo for like 4 days.
Right. Yes.
So it's real important where you close.
And their moving truck is sitting in their driveway or it's sitting in the parking lot.
Yes. With the pets, water bowl being filled up in your office and trying to get. So it's important to be ready and be on time because they've got a, you know, they have a 2 o'clock closing. They're going to pick their kids up at 3:20 at school. And so you have to be on time.
Right.
So, okay. Well, we brought in another expert in the field, which is Kristen Boulding. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Becky.
Okay. Kristen is an attorney, and I'm going to have to admit, I said, oh, lawyering's pretty boring. So, bring Siobhan with you. And she did. But
I did, yes.
But Kristen, you are quite capable of an interview on a radio. But tell us what your role is.
So I am a title attorney for Chicago Title. And basically my job is to review the abstract, which is basically the history of the property, the deeds and mortgages and liens and all of those things. And so I review that to see who is in title and if there's any mortgages or liens against the property, and do the exceptions or restrictions and any of those other things that would go along with that property.
So you write the title opinion.
Exactly.
Based on the abstract.
That's right.
And any other records that are recorded against that property or in relation to that property, like maybe tax liens and stuff like that, which probably show up in an abstract, don't they?
Yes, that would show up in an abstract as long as it's been recorded in the county clerk's office.
Okay. And then things that maybe haven't been recorded would be things like chattel, right?
I'm not really sure how that would apply to this situation, but.
Well, sometimes folks finance an air conditioner through OG&E. There's programs and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. That would be considered a UCC lien, and that's a separate check that we do as part of the title search for the property. So that would be like maybe a pool or, like you said, an air conditioner or a water softener or something like
flooring.
That.
Flooring. Solar panels.
Solar panels.
Oh, solar
that's
panels.
That's the big one right now.
Yes.
So, okay. Perfect.
Yeah. So just give – so if someone's listening, go, I really don't know what a title company does. Give about a 30-second just high overview. What is the title company?
Well, we are a neutral party in the transaction. We take in the contract. We get the abstract brought today, issue the title insurance. Then we prepare it for closing. We take the money in. We take the money out to the parties that are owed money. And then we do the recording. Then we issue title policies after. But we are always a neutral party in a closing transaction.
And I know that agents get confused on party to a transaction. There truly are only two parties to a contract.
Right.
Right? Which is the buyer, the seller. No matter, you could have 16 buyers and they're referred to as the buyer, okay? And then the seller. So there's only, the real estate professional is not a party to the contract, but they are a party to the transaction.
Correct.
Okay. And that's a difference, right?
Yes.
So what other parties to the transaction do you guys deal with?
Well, we're dealing with the realtors first, typically, because the contract's being turned in to us. Then we're dealing with the mortgage company if there is a loan. If there's going to be a mortgage inspection, we're also ordering the survey. We need information from our buyers. We need information from our sellers. We have to order payoffs. So we have our hands in a lot of contact with a lot of people. And communication is the most important thing in a closing. We can't do our job if we can't get the information that we need from all the parties in the transaction to pull it together.
And typically, teams like ours, real estate teams, have a transaction coordinator.
Yes.
That really, you deal more with my transaction coordinator than you do me.
Correct.
Because my transaction coordinator is the go-between, because she is at a desk with a computer all day with a telephone at hand. She's not out driving between appointments, meeting with clients and stuff like that. So a busy real estate broker or real estate agent, it's hard to keep everything straight and remember everything to do.
Right.
Because there's like 200 things to do in a real estate transaction.
There is. There's a lot of moving parts. And it's important to keep all those moving parts moving. And you want your agents out getting more contracts. So you need somebody in the office to keep that process moving, right, so they keep their process moving.
Real estate agents are really good at going out and meeting with people and dealing with people, but they're not real good at keeping track of details.
Correct.
Usually.
That's why we need a title company and also a great transaction manager who plays kind of air traffic controller in all of this. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the eight. We got eight big things to avoid, watch out for, be careful of in a closing right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We have the team from Chicago Title Oklahoma as our special guests here today, Kristen Bolding and Siobhan Honey. And if you want to be a part of the conversation today, you can call in, ask a question, make a comment. Just join us and be a part of it. The number to call in is 405-840-1000. It's 405-840-1000.
Okay. We're talking about things that can go wrong at a closing. And I just thought I would ask you, what about an error in the public records? Maybe someone's name is spelled wrong. Maybe it's got a wrong legal description. What happens with that, Kristen?
Like you said, we can have errors in public record that can affect your deed or survey of the property. It can cause time and money to correct those mistakes. One reason it matters where you close is, at Chicago Title, we're always double checking names and legal descriptions. And Siobhan, at the closing table, I think maybe you would encourage your parties to the transaction to review those things, make sure that names are spelled correctly. Especially today, names are spelled all kinds of different ways. I mean, even Kristen or Becky, Siobhan, you could spell that so many different ways. So it's really important, to check those things and make sure they're right before we do that recording with the county clerk's office.
Right, because if not, then we're doing refilings after the fact to correct, which we can do that. Sometimes people, when they go into title, there was a typo on their deed. So when we take them out of title, we can correct it at that time. We can show them as formerly known as or an AKA, also known as. So we can fix those at the time of the closing.
And how about a legal description that was incorrect when they went into title?
It depends on the type of error. Sometimes it can be refiled with the correction, making note that it is a correction deed and what we're correcting. Sometimes we have to file a whole new deed, which means getting a deed from that previous owner. So it's ideal that we've got everything correct at the time of.
Right. Okay. So how is someone protected with title insurance in the event there is an error in the public record?
Well, whenever you have title insurance, you are guaranteed clear title. If there is not clear title, then we're going to make it correct.
Okay. So that's what title insurance is for. Now, I've had people ask, well, okay, this happened, and I've forgotten the exact instance, but something after the closing, like years later, something happened that to the title of the property, and goes, well, what good is title insurance if they're not going to fix that, if they're not going to help me with that? Well, the occurrence of what happened to the property was after closing.
Right. And the title insurance is taking care of it up to the time that you're acquiring the title to the property.
Right.
And depending on what type of error we're talking about. If it's a typo and illegal and it's something that we're correcting, that's something we can take care of. If it's some sort of major claim, then you may be making a claim on your title insurance policy. It may be something that we're not correcting direct in our office, but it's a claim that goes through a title claim.
Does title insurance have a deductible?
No.
Okay. So you don't have to come up with 2% of the value of the property in order to have a title insurance claim come out and pay off.
No. And your title insurance is based on your, if you're purchasing, sales price or appraisal value. It depends on the type of situation. But most of the times it's going to be based on what your sales price is, what you're purchasing the property for.
Okay. And then the, but there's two title insurance policies usually at most closings, right?
Yes. If it's a, if you're getting a loan, there is a policy for the lender and there is a policy for you as the owner. Now, people get confused sometimes and think that the lender is getting a policy, so therefore I do not need a policy as the owner. But you do. Only the lender is getting the title insurance protection under their policy. For you, you need your owner's title insurance guaranteeing you clear title to the property.
And the lender, and you would have to be pretty old. You're pretty old, Siobhan.
Oh, no. I'm getting older, Becky.
Well, what I mean is you have to have some experience and have closed things a few years ago for this to even make sense. But what typically is the first policy is the owner's policy.
Right.
You purchase it because it's for the higher price. It's the mortgage plus the equity in the property.
Right.
And then the lender's policy. Back in the day when they had 100% plus 6% loans, so 106% of the value, you would have, or they had a negative mortgage where your mortgage kept going up because you weren't even paying the, all the interest each month, you know.
Right.
You then it would be the lender's policy. And the lender would require the maximum of the mortgage, which sometimes is above the purchase price in
Correct.
Those instances. And then the owner gets the second policy.
Correct.
Doesn't matter. They're lumped into one final fee at the end. But the first policy is based on the price.
Right.
The second policy is just a flat $50.
If a veteran's getting a loan and they're financing in that VA funding fee, the loan policy is going to end up being more than the owner's policy is.
Right.
And so we're going to always base the title insurance premium on whichever of the two is higher.
Okay. Okay. So what happens in the event of fraud or forgery? We had this happen. Where someone called me, we'll just name him John Doe, and wanted to sell his property, little house in Mustang, I think it was Mustang Heights, and said, it's vacant, I left a key under the front door if you want to go look at it, just leave the papers there, and I'll sign them and drop them by your office. Okay, that's great, did it. His wife was disabled, so she wasn't going to be able to come to closing. And then come to find out the day before closing, this woman calls me and she is Mrs. John Doe and says, I understand that you're selling my house. And I said, yes. And she said, the person that you contracted to sell that house with is my son, not my husband. And I said, wow, do you want to sell your house? Yes. I said, that's great because closing because closing is tomorrow.
Right.
I know. But I mean, how was I to know? He had the same ID.
Right.
Same name. But that would have been not good had we
right.
Had him. And by the way, his mom wasn't even disabled. I mean, she had a stand-up job where she even stood all day.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we have a strict policy with signing of documents, and it's really to protect everybody in the transaction that you are not, and that we are not, a victim of fraud. But we have notary guidelines. If you can't come to our office, we have approved notaries that will go direct to the customer. We send the documents straight to the notary. The notary goes to them. The notary takes it to FedEx, drops it back to us if it's an out-of-state buyer. People get a little aggravated at that, but we always try to explain this is to protect everybody in the transaction, that everybody is who they say they are.
Yeah, you can't bring your brother and say it's your husband to sign. Correct. That's happened before, too.
And it has happened before. I've been closing for a long time, and I had one transaction where somebody brought me an ID. She was able to fraud the tag agency.
Oh, wow. Goodness.
Well, you got to make sure everybody is who they is.
Right.
In a real estate transaction. We will be right back with more here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guests from Chicago Title, Oklahoma, Kristen Boulding and Siobhan Honey. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Our word of the day is, well, it's a term, mortgage inspection certificate. What is a mortgage inspection certificate? So I think I will tell you. Okay, it's done by a surveyor. It has to be done by a licensed surveyor, and it assesses the boundaries of the property, comparing them to the legal description that's filed on the deed. So it's basically a footprint of the lot with the structures on it, so that you can tell whether the house is set back from the road far enough, according to the guidelines and the requirements, you know, and then whether there's an easement, a drainage easement, utility easement, that kind of thing. So mortgage inspection report brought to you by Robbins Roofing. We're
If you want to call in and join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. We have Jim on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, once again, just like I told you, I haven't been listening to the station very much the last 10 days or so, because it seemed like you guys were off the air or real staticky and everything. But I happened to turn it on this morning, and I just came in and got you guys talking on the tail end of title stuff. I have a question. It's probably already been discussed. So no worries.
Go for it.
Okay. What's this thing about people stealing your titles? HomeTitleLock.com, some kind of insurance there. Do we have to do this in the state of Oklahoma?
Jim, that's a great question.
And we've got great news for you. Yeah. I'm not going to tell anyone not to buy insurance, because my attorney, Ron Shalott, tells me that my best defense on anything is buying the right kind and the right amount of insurance. So I'm not going to talk you out of buying insurance. Okay. But in Oklahoma, the county assessor has it set up to alert you every time something happens on your property. Can you expand on that, Siobhan or Kristen?
So basically, if you go to the county clerk's office, you can register for these alerts. And anytime something is filed against the legal description for your property, you'll get an email from them letting you know that. So,
okay, I'm going to plead ignorant here now. I'm an older gentleman here. I have a little flip phone, no iPad, no computer, no email, nothing like that.
Jim, I do get into this millennium.
Yeah, I know. I tell you what, though, I've discovered I have not been scammed. by being careful like this. I don't have problems with this. And I, what I do is I go with what's keeping me safe. But you could give them your phone number, though, right?
I don't think so.
I don't know, but you could probably call the, if you're in Oklahoma County, you could probably call the Oklahoma County Assessor's Office.
Live over here southeast of Overholser, southeast of Lake Overholser is where I'm located.
Well, and I will tell you, call the County Assessor's Office or go to their website, which it sounds like you're not going to go to their website, so you need to call them. And I can give you that number here in a minute so that you can...
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. And I'm sorry I sound ignorant, but like I said, I've learned that if something's, you know, working, don't try to mess with it.
We got you, Jim. It's a great question. And if you hold on, we'll get you that number. We'll put it out here. And we have Ann on the line this morning. Good morning, Ann.
I have a convoluted situation, I think. An owner of property had his will in a trust, and he died and left it to two children, and the first one died, who was the main executress, and then the second one is wondering where the title is, how you find the title, if it's clear, title insurance. We don't have those records with us. Owner died. Pardon?
I can help you. And by the way, I did not know that, and I'm so sorry for the loss of within the family.
Yes, you sold the house, Becky.
I did.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I did not know that the initial trustee had passed. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I share that with you now, by the way, Ann. So you and I need to talk sometime.
Okay.
So what we need to do here is, now it's not that property you're talking about. It's a different property, right?
You sold the house and it is the land across the street.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the question now.
Yes, and how it's entitled.
Yes.
We'll just go to the county, which that one happens to be Canadian County, and we'll look up who is the owner. Now, I do know the county assessor there. If there's any information we can get from those county records, I will help you do that. But that's where you start to find who the owner is. Our Oklahoma County, Cleveland County, Canadian County, they're very up-to-date on their filings, and it's rare there's a mistake. And if there's a mistake and I call, I can just leave a message, tell them who I am, and they will look up that, verify the mistake, correct it. So, but you start with the county records, and that will tell you who's
in title. And we don't even have a copy of title or any insurance. How do we go about getting that?
Well, if it's filed a public record, and it likely will be, then you don't have to have the original document. That original document has been filed. You don't have to own, you don't have to have a physical possession of your deed. A lot of people, older people, think that having the deed, having the abstract is proof of ownership. If it's filed in a public record, that's your proof of ownership. Am I right on that, Kristen?
Correct.
Okay. So.
Well, I will no doubt be giving you a call, Becky.
Okay. Thank
you. Foreign information to me.
Thank you very much, Ann. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Ann. And for Jim, the Oklahoma County Assessor's number is 405-713-1200. And I'm going to tell you, Oklahoma County Assessor, their office is incredibly helpful. Most of the counties, I know dealing with government offices is often... seems like a headache.
They're friendly and they're anxious
to
help.
They are friendly and anxious to help. That's exactly.
Okay, we've got a couple more minutes, so I'm going to ask you, if someone commits fraud, and this was in the news yesterday, that someone was arrested for filing a fake deed on a property. The owner had passed away, and this woman goes down and forges the signature on the deed, files it. How does a title company know? And is the county clerk required to file that? What kind of proof does the county clerk need? to file a document because it ends up being a fake document?
You know, I'm not sure what the process that the county clerk goes through. Most of the time when someone brings a document in there and it meets their requirements for notary and things like that, they're going to record it. So, you know, they're not necessarily, I mean, they will definitely be keeping an eye out for fraud or forgery or things that look, you know, strange. But these deeds can get filed. And, you know, sometimes that can change the title to your property and you may not know it. So one thing definitely to look for is a tax statement every November. They mail those out to your address where the property is. So if November comes and goes and you don't have a tax statement, then you might want to start checking into that and seeing if something might have been filed against your property.
Well, and when you move, you need to notify the county assessor of your new mailing address.
Absolutely.
And now they will take your email address also and can notify you, which is terrific. I mean, that would I wish they sent out double tax bills in Oklahoma County this year. I mean, like two for every single person. I cannot imagine the cost of that.
Oh, my goodness. Nightmare.
Somebody made a mistake.
Somebody did make a mistake. And it was a very costly mistake. But if it'd be great if they would do those by email. But that might not. I can see lots can go wrong with that, too.
Right. Might not work for everyone, especially maybe Jim, who just called in.
Yeah, right. You're right. But find a grandchild, find a niece or nephew. They can help you with that kind of thing. So what if unknown or undiscovered liens that affect the property that should be picked up during the title review process, but somebody misses it? Does your title insurance cover that?
So most liens should be discovered in the title review process if they are recorded properly. So you can get into instances where maybe they have a wrong legal description, so it wouldn't show up there. So we do put like a catch-all on our title commitments that ask the seller if you're aware of any liens that are against this property that are not showing up on this commitment. You know, they have a responsibility to tell us those things so that they can get paid off. But sometimes there are, you know, like second mortgages that wouldn't get recorded or something like that. So it's definitely possible. And we do rely on, you know, our closers to communicate with all of the parties to make sure we're getting everything on there that needs to be on there.
In a closing, there's a lot that sometimes is discovered without any words coming out of somebody's mouth when a couple looks at each other funny when they're asked a question.
Yes.
Because one of them wants to tell the truth and the other one doesn't.
Yes.
So a seasoned closer is good. Someone's had a lot of experience to know what questions to ask.
Right.
And say, sign right here that you don't know of any liens under penalty of felony.
And we have a lien waiver affidavit signed, and it is a legal document. So if you're aware that there may be a possible lien that was being filed and you sign it, then we can take legal action against you because you said there wasn't. You know, there's contractors or subcontractors. If you've hired somebody to do work and you haven't paid them, they still have lien rights in the future. That's why we ask you to sign those documents acknowledging everybody's been paid. Nobody's filing a lien. Nobody's filing a judgment. Yes, we expect people to be honest, but
I know that Chicago Title Oklahoma one time opted out of closing for a builder because of known things that followed after the closing that were not paid.
Yes.
And you guys would not close it. You go, no, you'll need to take this somewhere else. We're not issuing title insurance on this.
Yes. And over the years, you know, there's red flags. There's things that we're trained to look for in all aspects. And sometimes we're put in a situation where we have to resign from a transaction. It's not ideal. It doesn't happen very often, but there are strange situations. This is my motto, never a dull day in real estate. It's all out there. Anything you can think of, it's out there.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll have your smoking hot deal right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn on 63rd, just west of Meridian at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue, just north of Hefner Road. Becky, what's our smoking hot deal?
Well, you're making me hungry for Casa Perico. I haven't been there in a couple of weeks. So, Siobhan, have you been to Casa Perico Mexican
Grill? Yes, it's awesome.
Have you been to their new location on May?
I don't think so,
Oh,
no.
You have to go. It is so pretty.
Well, I love Mexican food, and so I'll put that on my to-do
list. There you go.
And
okay.
It's patio weather. We're getting close to patio
yes.
weather.
Yeah, I think all their locations have patios. 122nd and Penn does not.
Does not.
The other three do.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's fun. Okay, this is an unusual property. It is at Carlton Landing, Lake Eufaula, right? Yes, Lake Eufaula.
Yep.
I'm going, okay. I talked a lot about Grand Lake and Lake Tenkiller yesterday, so because we are getting ready to list another lake property as well. But this one is owned by one of our agents, so we need to say that. And it is just stunningly pretty. It is not particularly cheap. It's about $875,000, which is a good price for Carlton's Landing, right? And then it is about 2,100 square feet, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms. It has it is a water view property, so that's great. Has wood floors, a fire pit, great big windows. It's kind of a plantation style house. It's a
really
beautiful,
pretty.
Beautiful home. And so if you are one that wants a lake retreat at Carlton Landing, you can have that yourself. And be on the lookout, because in a couple weeks, we're going to have a large property on Grand Lake that is waterfront property with a boathouse that's got water and electricity, 2 big boat slips with the lifts, and the house is large, and if you're a garage person, you'll love this house. So anyway.
If that's piquing your interest, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, and you'll see it right there at the top.
You know, we tend to be a little bit more statewide now with our business than we have been in the past.
Just yesterday, we signed listing papers coming to one in Blanchard, 20 acres.
Yeah, there you go.
It's 20 acres in Blanchard. Great. That's great value for 20 acres.
So there we go. So, okay. Well, we're going to cover a couple more things with our Chicago Title Oklahoma experts here. And one is we're going to have you back. We've got more things to cover, and we can't thoroughly cover them. So you're going to have to come back. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. I needed that commitment. Okay.
She's got you on record.
Yes.
I know.
There is wire fraud.
Yes.
And we need to cover that, because I know, Kristen, you were at a different title company previously, and you had wire fraud that happened. I mean, it was not – I say that. That's none of your fault. So describe what wire fraud is.
Well, basically, wire fraud is – I mean – we know that we all use wire transactions in real estate all the time. The majority of these transactions are safe and secure, so just to put everybody at ease there. But there is an increasing problem with wire fraud. And basically, wire fraud is, let's say you're going to send a wire to pay off someone's mortgage, the seller's mortgage. A bad actor intervenes and somehow changes the wiring instructions, and the payoff for the mortgage gets sent to some ghost account, and it's there for maybe a few seconds and moves into another account, and it's out of the country and it's gone. So,
say your email address is Kristen@ChicagoTitleOklahoma. They will change the email address to something like putting a number one in place of the L
one
in the
difference.
Word Oklahoma, and it goes somewhere else to where they intercept the money. And so wiring is basically wiring money from one bank to another and want to, you know, the accounts of the parties involved. So you don't want that to disappear. You don't have much time when that happens either, because the next day that money goes offshore, overseas somewhere, and it is not recoverable.
Right. It's not recoverable. And we have places, we have procedures in place where we receive payoff information. We call the mortgage company. We verbally verify. We call a known number. If we're sending to our seller, same thing. We're having verbal communication with our seller at a known number. One of the biggest problems we're having is with our buyers. If they are not communicating and they are just taking an email from who they think may be us and they're not calling to confirm, they may be sending their wire to the wrong account and we never get it. And so we want to make sure when our buyers are sending their earnest money, their funds for closing, that they call a known source. Google Chicago Title, the phone number for the office, call that office, ask your realtor, what is Siobhan's direct number? I would need to call her and verify. We're going to also reach out and verify with you if we know that you're going to be wiring money to us. You cannot over-communicate when it comes to your money and protecting your money. Don't receive an email and just send your money out according to that email. Check your sources.
I'll tell you what, we thank you for coming, and you're going to have to come back because we've got so much more to cover on this. Kristen Boulding, Siobhan Honey, we thank you very much. Jim Ivins, sing us out.
Be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you. And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.